Well, I'm glad it's a forever forgiveness. Amen? Amen. We have all this politician thing, all the election, and it's a good example, though, to us as God's people. Your past, they never forget. Man never forgets it. They keep digging up stuff on people. I mean, way back, but God puts it behind his back. Isn't that great? Moves it from the east to the west, so we... as far as east from the west. So we thank God for forgiveness that man don't have. And man won't give you, but God will through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Hector. Appreciate the message. Well, it's just us tonight. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And one of these days, I'm going to succeed. I've always wanted to preach about 20 minutes. And I never have been able to make it yet. Jesus understands. I don't know. I hope you do. Stephen told him the other night, I spoke for him on Wednesday night. He said, "Now, Daddy's going to bring us a devotion." And I said, "He knows I can't." And it was a little bit of a joke with him. And I made a joke out of it. Missed it by a long shot. John chapter 3, I'm going to read a familiar portion, but I go a little bit different twist on it tonight. John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, I'm going to just drop something here having nothing to do with the message. Nicodemus raised the question, could a man go back in his mother's womb? He's talking about a natural birth. In verse 5, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, there's some good students believe water here represents the Word, but I believe if God wanted it to be Word, he'd have wrote Word. I believe the water is the natural birth that's being referred to here in the context. Anyway, move on. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So again, he's referring to the earthly birth of the flesh. And then he's talking about a new birth, the birth of the spirit. Then he says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the spirit." I'm sorry about having to keep clearing my throat, but whatever. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." Nicodemus at this point had been skeptical. "If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Talking about himself. I'm going to stop there. We get on down to the famous verses, of course, of John 3:16, but I want to speak to you a little bit on this subject, and we'll take it out of the text here. Don't walk against the wind. How many of you ever done that? Of course we have. And you got to push, because it wants to push you back, right? And anybody ever tried to throw water out and the wind blew it back on them? You heard somebody say, "Don't spit against the wind." That sort of thing. I've seen a few sides of a car where somebody tried to spit out, and it had some of that tobacco juice, and it come back. Oh, anyway. You don't want to work against the wind. I tell you what tickles me sometimes. When we have these Florida hurricanes, or you see a hurricane anywhere, you see these reporters stand out in it, let the wind blow them.
Now, why they have to do that? To let us know the wind's blowing? I laughed one night. It was right here in Florida. I was watching that. And a reporter got out there, and it was just blowing him to pieces and blowing him to pieces. And he was holding on with his microphone. And all of a sudden, it took him away. I laughed. Say, y'all not laughing, might have got hurt. Deserved it if he did. He wasn't supposed to be out there. I mean, just got to be out there to show us the wind's blowing. What's the matter with a nut like that? Anyway, help yourself. But here we have a story where Nicodemus came by night. Now, a lot of folks say, well, he came by night because he was ashamed. Possibly. There's a lot of folks try to sneak in the back door to Christ. Could be. But he could have also been under conviction enough he just couldn't wait for day. So I don't know. I can't tell. But the Lord used the illustration of the wind with him. Now, the wind is something we feel, but we don't see. You can feel it. You can hear it. And that's what it says. Jesus said here in the text, you can hear it, but you don't see it. Now, sometimes we'll think we see it, but no, what we're seeing is what it's moving. If it's moving a palm tree or if it's blowing a house off the foundation, we're seeing the results of the wind. We're actually not seeing the wind. Now, we'd be out there in it. Yes, we could feel it. No doubt about it. But wind's very important. It's very powerful. For many, many hundreds of years, that's what moved the big ships across the ocean, was the wind power in the sails. We understand that. But it's hard to walk against, hard to race against it. That's why they designed race cars to be streamlined, to go through the wind, to be as slick as possible. And it makes a big difference. Back many years ago, now it's not so much true now. Well, it really is. If you see the great big 18-wheelers on the road, the big diesels, do you notice that thing that comes up over the cab? Now, nobody's in it. Nothing's in it. It's a windshield to try to get the wind to flow over and take some of the pressure off. Because if you're doing 50 miles an hour, do you understand you're facing a 50-mile-an-hour wind? Now, if it's already blowing 10 miles an hour against you, now it's a 60-mile-an-hour wind. And when I used to ride as a teenager in the truck with my dad in the summertime when I'd be out of school, old-fashioned truck, oh, brother, you knew when the wind was against you. I'm telling you, it slowed that thing right on down. And it was a good day when we had a tailwind and we could move on a little bit faster. But we understand a little bit about the wind. The race cars, they have what they call wind tunnels to go test the car. And by putting a smoke or something in there, they could actually, you've seen it on TV where they show the flow of the air going over. It's very, very, very important. Makes a big difference because you can get a drag from the wind or you can be empowered by the wind, depending on whether you're facing it or whether it's behind you. Amen? Very, very real. Now, in the text right here, I want to compare this truth just a while tonight. To begin with, the word in Hebrew is ruach, R-U-A-C-H, as we'd spell it out in English. And in the Hebrew, it means wind. But it also has a double meaning. It also means spirit. Now, that's not true in our English word, but that is true that the Hebrew word tells you the wind also can mean the spirit. And that's the way Jesus used it right here. He's talking about the wind. You can feel it. It blows where it listeth, where it wants to, but you don't see it. And he's trying to teach Nicodemus here about the Spirit of God. Now, the truth is it pictures the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to go with me to John chapter 16 and verse 13. And we'll could have read a verse in chapter 15 too, but let's go to John 16. And pick it up in verse 13. Same book now. Just turn over to your right and pick it up in chapter 16 and look at it. Look at it here in verse 13. The Lord Jesus is talking. He's talked to them about he's going away. He told them how he was going away here in chapter 14. He's told them the Comforter is coming. He's told them what the Comforter will do. And then in verse 13 of chapter 16, he says this. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come,
he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. Now let's think about the verse a minute. He'll guide you into all truth. And then it says the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. Now that's kind of important. There are groups today that major on the Holy Spirit even more so than Jesus. And that grieves the Holy Spirit because he wants to testify of Christ. That's his job. He's like the wind. You don't see it, but you see what it does. And so the Holy Spirit of God points to Jesus. And got to be careful in that area, because he's come to comfort. He's come to show us new things and all things. But he's mainly to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and lift him up. And so you can spot it sometimes when the whole emphasis is on the Holy Spirit. I believe it grieves him because he wants to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says he will not testify of himself, but he testifies of Jesus. Now I'm talking about you and I, as we use the illustration Jesus used about the wind. You and I need to be careful that we don't walk against the wind, that we don't walk against the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we're talking about here. Walk not against. Now, we're commanded the Scripture to be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And not filled with wine, but with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And we are tapping into a power like unto the wind that can blow a ship, that can blow a building down. I mean, it's a great power. And God wants us to tap into it and let it empower us and not be a drag on us, but push us forward. And that's going to depend not on the Holy Spirit, but on which way we're facing. Where are we going, with the Spirit of God or going against the Spirit of God? And the real truth there. Everything we do or say goes better when we go with the Holy Spirit, his direction. Everything we do or say will go wrong when we are fighting God, going against his Spirit. Now, it's just us Christians tonight to talk to you a little bit about this. But how about the example over in Acts chapter 9? That's the chapter Paul, Saul, got saved in and became Paul, remember? Remember, he was on the road to Damascus. What was he doing? He was going out to persecute Christians, to take both men and women and put them in prison if he found those that were giving a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you got to remember who Paul was, Saul at the time. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had the authority of the Sanhedrin behind him, of the power of the Jewish religion, and he was dealing with Jews that he caught that were saying that the Messiah had come and that Jesus that had been crucified was the one. You know, he was standing there when that crowd got together and stoned Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He was holding their clothes. Later on, after he becomes Paul, after he's saved and he's writing to the churches, he said, sinners and I am chief. He even called himself a murderer because he was condoning the stoning, illegal stoning, by the way, of Stephen. You see, they crucified Christ because they didn't have the authority to kill him. They had to go to Pilate to get that authority. Yep. And yet they killed Stephen. Must have been as they killed him, they did it without authority. But Saul was giving them the authority. Paul later. But old Saul now is on the road to Damascus. It's after the death of Stephen. And he's moving on to arrest other believers. And you know what happened? The bright light from heaven struck him down and Jesus appeared to him. You remember what Jesus said to him over in Acts chapter 9? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He was saying, if you persecute my people, you're persecuting me. A little more than that, he said to Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now you need to understand what that meant. Saul, I believe, going down the road to Damascus, was under great conviction from God because he'd been condoning the stoning of Stephen.
He was fighting God. He was going against the Holy Spirit of God. He was walking against the wind, if you please. And when Jesus struck him down, Jesus told him, "You're persecuting me, but," he said, "don't you know it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks?" You got to understand what the pricks were. If you'd have been in that country and you'd have been into the stockyards, or you'd been into the home that owned a cow, and they had it in a stall, maybe a bull, and maybe it was trying to get out, they would take sharp sticks and they would sharpen them and they would put them through the walls of the stall. They would be teaching that animal not to kick, because when he kicked, he would stick himself with a sharp pointed stick, and he pretty soon learned not to kick against the pricks. That's the terminology Jesus was using with Saul. He was saying to him, "You're kicking against me. No wonder you're feeling pain. No wonder you're hurting. You're kicking against the pricks here." And he was telling Saul that. And that's exactly, I believe, a little bit of a revealing of what was in the mind of Saul. He was under conviction. He was fighting God. He was walking against the wind. He was going against the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus appeared to him and spoke to him like this. And everything that we do, especially after we've been saved, we need to measure whether or not we're going against the wind or with the wind. Now think about it with me just a little bit. You ever had some times when you done something and it left a bad taste in your mouth? You ever done something, and Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Spirit of God that sealed us to the day of redemption." Grieve not, that means we can do it. Now, the most miserable feeling, and the only good thing is it tells you you're really genuinely saved. But you go against the wind and the Holy Spirit begins to grieve you, and there's just, that hurts. I'd rather get physically pained than to have that inner pain that comes when I have displeased God. That's the grieving the Holy Spirit. It's very real, very real. Maybe you said something to somebody you shouldn't have. Maybe it just popped out and you wish it hadn't. Maybe you just wasn't thinking about it like you should, and later on the Holy Spirit says, "Oh, you ought to be ashamed. Boy, that hurts." Now, some of you are so perfect, you've never had that happen, but I have it happen every now and then. Be honest, I have it happen every now and then. Sometimes I'm up here ripping and roaring on some of the evil of this world, and sometimes I later on think, "I shouldn't have said that." And the Holy Spirit says, "Amen, you shouldn't have." And that hurts. That hurts. And you say, "What do you do?" Well, I ask God to forgive me, but he wants me to remember it a while. So it'll come up in my heart and mind another time or two sometime. Now, again, it may not happen to you, but it does to me. Maybe it's a loved one you cut short. Maybe it's one that you lost patience with. Maybe it's just some little old something. It don't have to be very big in man's eyes to be pretty good size in God's eyes. And when the Holy Spirit says wrong, you better agree with him, because it won't get better till you do. Till you're willing to confess it, till you're willing to forsake it, till you're willing to turn from it. It is like walking against the wind. It's going to be a drag on you. It's going to push you back. It's going to slow you down. It's going to stop your progress until you get turned right. I think about old Billy Sunday, the famous old evangelist. So many folks got saved under and fought the liquor crowd so bad. Somebody said to him, "Billy, that preaching you done, it rubbed the fur wrong." In other words, you said some stuff you shouldn't have said. Now, apparently, Billy didn't believe that and wasn't grieved over it, because he said to him, "Well, if it rubbed the fur wrong, turn the cat around." Now, I understand what he meant. Get right, and you won't be in disagreement with what I said. That's what he was basically saying. Everything we do, everything we say. Now, what would we be talking about? Do you know witnessing goes a lot better when you're going with the wind? When you go in the direction of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever noticed that sometime you said very little, but it had great results? Maybe in some other times you said much, and it didn't result too good. What's the difference? In the Holy Spirit. Our command to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we ought to ask God to let Him fill us and use us. And somebody says, well, I don't have to come to church all the time, but you will find it a lot easier to be filled with the Spirit of God if you do. I mean, if you go to the Lord's table, you eat the spiritual food, you're going to find that it's a lot easier to walk with the wind instead of against the wind. If you actually want to see the results that only the Holy Spirit can bring. And when it comes to our soul winning, when it comes to our witnessing, brother, it's just a good thing. It's just a good thing to bow your head if it's just for 30 seconds and say, Lord, fill me, use me. Help me not to say the wrong thing, say the right thing. Just better to go with the wind. Go with the wind. When it comes to your giving, there's a lot of folks that give, but it pains them. Go with the Holy Spirit and you won't feel the pain. You give as unto the Lord in a great cause and you'd feel good about it. That's when you'd give it in the Spirit of God. God's blessings on you, going with the wind. When it comes to this thing that we fight all the time, and so many, especially young people, but older people too, they have separation problems. They just can't turn loose the old world. It just keeps enticing them and grabbing them, and they're thrilled with what the world is doing instead of what God is doing. And listen, if you can get to the place, and I know when I first got saved and I heard the preacher preaching against the Hollywood movies, don't go there. I heard him preaching various things, and there were things I was doing, and as a lost man, didn't think much about it. Now, we didn't have TVs. I don't think there was a TV in town probably when I got saved. And so we'd go to the movies every now and then, racetrack or the movies, car racing. And Sonia and I hadn't got married. And I'd heard the preacher say something like this. He said, yeah, there's some good movies, but there's probably some good food in the garbage can, but you're going to get garbage all over if you go after it. And I heard his reasoning on it, but I kind of liked the movies once in a while, you know, especially John Wayne and a few others, but anyway. And the movies was bad enough back then, but nothing like what they have come. I mean, the talk alone is just amazing difference. But anyway, I thought, can I give up the movies? I'm a Christian. I've been saved. And so I talked a little bit with Sonia about it. She'd already long separated from the worldly stuff like that. And she tried to reason with me a little bit, said, hey, it's for your best or whatever she said. But I went to another movie. It was a night when we were off from racing, and another race driver was a friend of mine, came by, picked me up in his car, just the two of us. We need to talk some race car stuff. So we drove out here to the drive-in theater and drove in there, and you know, you used to take that thing and hang it on your window and fight the mosquitoes. Hey, you remember, had to have the window down, hang the thing on. Anyway, we sat there and watched a movie and talked. That was the dumbest movie. I got no good out of it at all. I still remember it. I remember the hero of the movie was Richard Widmark. Anybody remember that guy? But it was a dumb movie. It was no good. I had no taste for it. That's what had happened. My taste all of a sudden was messed up. It didn't feel the same. And I'm sitting there talking with my race car buddy and pretty much ignoring the thing. And it's the last one I've ever been to. Never been to a picture show since. Never had a desire since. I've heard fellows tell me, I got saved and God took away my taste for alcohol. Now, praise God when that happens. Oh, it took away my taste for tobacco. Praise God. I've seen some others had to fight it.
and they're walking against the wind. They're resisting the Spirit of God that's telling them, drop this off, quit this, don't do this anymore. But brother, it goes so much sweeter with the wind. Get that tailwind on an airplane and you get there quicker. It's just much better. And when you go in the direction the Spirit of God leads, it's just much better. It's a better trip. And when it comes to separation, some of you young people, listen. If you, before you got saved, some of you girls, if you were showing too much flesh, then cover it up. You're going with the wind when you cover it up. Going against it when you pull it off. Talk. I've joked about it that a preacher friend of mine said he was trying to preach and the lady said to him something at the door about it, about some words he'd butchered. He said, ma'am, you got to understand something. I hadn't been saved very long and God called me to preach, but when I got saved, God had to take away half of my vocabulary. And he, I understand what he means, brother. But if you're going to go with the wind, go with the Holy Spirit, you got to stop saying some things, listening to some things, and being in the crowd that is speaking wrong. Man, oh man, if you're going to walk with the Holy Spirit, if he's going to empower you, he's going to change your taste. He is going to change your taste. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. And the old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Now, I experienced that in my life. I had a lot of old things that need to pass away. And then I had a whole lot of stuff that was new to me that took its place. And let me say to you, and I did this with shortly after I was saved, one thing after another, and maybe doubtful things, just sort of on the fence. Is it wrong? Is it right? I made a policy in my heart and soul with God in the early beginning. If it's doubtful, I won't do it. If it's doubtful, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I have never gone wrong by doing that. I have gone wrong when I didn't give up something and the Holy Spirit grieved me. And the truth of the matter is, it's just better to go with the wind. Better go with the wind. Now the wind here, the word not only in Hebrew, but the wind here is talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And you'll know the difference. You can know the difference in the Holy Spirit being with you and not being with you. Now you say, okay, preacher, I'm willing to do it. Now how am I going to know when I'm walking in the wind against it? Well, the Holy Spirit will let you know pretty well when you're going against him. Say, well then, how do I know which way to go? All right, I'm going to give you a solution to what I've just, the proposition I've just made here. Here's the solution. If I want to know which way the wind's blowing, which way the Holy Spirit's going, it's in here. It's in here. You say, how will I know? Well, see what God says about it. And a lot of folks imagine that it's nebulous, smoky. No, it's not. It's pretty clear. Very, very clear, in fact. If you line up with his word, what the Bible says, line up with the Bible, not against the Bible. You know, this is the craziest thing with all the new versions of the Bible. There was a satanic motive behind all that. The whole motive was, instead of getting up here to God's standard, pull God's standard down to my level. That don't work. You're resisting the wind. You're walking against the wind. You're going against the Holy Spirit of God when you try that. Don't line up against it. If we're going to be empowered, then we need the Holy Spirit behind us, pushing us the right way, speeding us on. Otherwise, we're going to have a drag. We're going to have resistance. And God may let you fight yourself and beat yourself out against the wind, but you won't make the progress you make if you'll get right and go with God. You know, the church is only lined up and will only go forward to the degree that the church that makes up the people are willing to follow the Holy Spirit. Let me give you, because of some little bit of my background, knowing a little bit about it, and of course you watched it on TV. I hate it personally. I hate Talladega in Alabama because that's restrictor plate racing. Now, that's Greek to y'all, I understand that. Let me tell you just a little automotive science and I'll move on. Restrictive plate racing is when they make them take the carburetor off the engine and they give everybody an equal plate. It's not very thick, quarter inch, half inch. That plate has holes cut in it to match to set over the intake manifold of the motor. But they have all those holes equal. So they have to put it on the carburetor, and that makes all the cars as equal as possible in their speed. And of course, the race car mechanics and drivers try to cheat. They get caught once in a while. But they pretty well, I mean, they've got rules you would not believe. And so the cars are going to run equal on the track. I hate it. They run in a pack. And the difference pretty much is the drivers and those that can slip through the wind the easiest. So the wind becomes a deciding factor to a great degree of the winners of the race. It's a big deal. Now there's other races they don't give them those plates and I like those better. But here's what I want you to see. If you watch, next time you get a chance, I'm not asking you to watch a whole race. I don't think I've been able to watch a whole race this year. Get in on the tail end or see it repeated on the news. But you watch this. They're going around the track. Well, let's just use Talladega in Alabama. Going around the track. Now they'll get on up to, I don't know, 190. They may even get up to 200. But they're following in line. In line, one behind another. Maybe it's two lines going around the track, but they're one behind the other, bumper to bumper almost. And if somebody drops out of line, guess what happens to them? The wind blows them back. You seen that? They can actually lose the wind and just can't even catch up with the pack again. But because they're running nose to nose or nose to tail, whatever it is, in the line, they can go faster. They can shed the wind better, and they can go faster. You know, as a church, if we just go get in line with the Holy Spirit and quit walking against the wind, boy, what we could do. What we could do. And I want to say to the individual that every now and then you see a fella, he feels like he's behind the other car, and he feels like, I can go up and touch him. Yes, you can. You can go up and touch him. But when you pull out, you can't go by him. It'll knock you back. The wind will knock you back. You know what I'm talking about? Every now and then one will think, I got so much accelerator left, I'll pull out and pass him. And then he pulls out and he loses it. Let me make the application to the church. You ever seen anybody drop out? I'd do better. I don't need the church. I got offended at this, that, or the other. I'll do it on my own. Where are they at now? I tell you where they're at. They're in the tail end of where they ought to be because they started busting their own headwind and they couldn't do it. They're walking against the wind. The Christian walk against the wind, against the Holy Spirit, is always a disaster. To walk with God, to walk in the Spirit, to walk with the wind is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God and to be used, but to drop out is a disaster. No wonder the Lord said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And he said in the last day, as we see the day approaching, we'd see that happening. Are we seeing it happen? I mean, we struggle hard enough as a church. A lot of our folks have died off, moved off, and this sort of thing from time to time. We keep reaching others, but with the turnover, it's a struggle. But I want to tell you something, folks. There's a pile of churches hurting worse than us. And I don't say that rejoicing. I say that sadly, because that's the
That's the trend of the times we're in. It's the culture we're in. It's the Laodicean, lukewarm, hypocritical, in many cases just cold and don't care, even among God's people. Somebody says, why does the Lord let some bad things happen in the world? Well, sometimes it's the only way he gets our attention and gets us back seeing our need of him again after we lost seeing that need. But I'm saying to you tonight, let's check on ourselves that we're walking with the Holy Spirit, with the wind, instead of against it. That we're not grieving the Holy Spirit. You gossip, you sow discord, you're grieving the Holy Spirit, and he'll let you know. He'll let you know. You use the wrong kind of words, you listen to the wrong kind of words. He'll let you know. You go to the wrong places, he'll let you know. And you won't make much progress that way, but you will when you get empowered by the Holy Spirit. Go his direction. And then be honest with yourself. Am I walking against the wind or with the wind? You can tell. You can tell. Somebody said, I think it was a preacher, a friend of mine, I heard say this some long time ago. Somebody said, do you always know when the Holy Spirit is with you? He thought a minute, he said, no, but I always know when he's not. Yeah. Think on that, when he's not. And I'll challenge you tonight, as we serve the Lord, you ever test the wind? That's not the best way. Dirty finger in your mouth. That's not the best way. Best way is to look at a flag or the tree branch or something else. It'll tell you. Now, if you want to go look at your life, see which way the wind's blowing in your life. You feel like it's just every bit I can do to push forward a little bit? Or do you feel like, boy, this is a breeze. I'm moving on. That's the difference. Peace in your heart or great conflict and struggle. Line up with God. Finish line's not that far off. And I'm going to be glad I stayed in line with what God wanted and moved with his spirit and was pushed by his wind. That's what I want to do. Finish my course. I hope that's what you want to do. Let's stand, please. Father, we commit the service to you. Lord, we just spoke to our own folks tonight and to my own self. And dear God, if I know my heart, I want to line up and let your wind be at my back. Not pressing against me, but pressing me forward. Lord, this old life has its ups and downs and its struggles, but every bit of it will go better if I'm going your direction. Walking with your spirit. I pray you'd help us tonight to be honest. And as the scripture says, let a man examine himself to see if he be in the faith. To really say, Lord, which way am I walking? Am I pleasing you or am I grieving you? Help us, Lord, as we start another week in the morning, that we could walk with the wind. Walk with your spirit. And thereby accomplish so much more than we can do if we drop out of line with you and go the wrong way. Bless the invitation, I pray. Whatever the need, speak to our hearts to make some commitments even to stay in line with your spirit. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing. Invitation's open. Whatever God's asked you to do.